السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. How are you all doing? Weren't you tired today? Why did you come? Huh? Don't you already know? You've studied this juz. I see your juz, mashallah, full of notes. Revision is important. But you can also revise at home, yourself. Why did you come here? Because you could have listened online as well, right? So why did you come here? There are distractions at home. Okay. And?
I felt now my time is more productive for me, you know, because I have done my lesson with I was running late because I have to do this one, and alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, because when you have to go somewhere, you have to make time for it. Then what happens? Everything else also, you make sure you do it in time. So you're more productive. Okay. Why else did you come here to listen? You could have listened from home. Yes. More reward. Okay. And? Yes. Yes. What I like about our session right now is the fact that we are sitting in the masjid. We're sitting in the masjid. And if you remember the hadith that I had mentioned in the first session that we had about welcome Ramadan, that when a person goes to the masjid and he reads one ayah or two ayat or more, then that is better for him than getting an equal number of camels for free. It's a way of getting rich fast, quick and fast, and rich in the real sense. So every day when you come here, inshallah, make the intention of going to the masjid. Don't just go, okay, now I have to go sit and listen for 2 hours. No, make the intention, I'm going to the masjid, I'm going to pray, I'm going to sit with the Qur'an, I'm going to read some Qur'an, I'm going to listen to some Qur'an. And remember that when people gather together, sit together in a gathering and they remember Allah, then there is definitely more reward in that. There is more barakah, more blessing, more of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Okay, so from juz number 3, which ayat did you note down for yourself? Yes. Making dua for children. Yes. What kind of dua? The dua that Zakariya alayhi salam made. Dhurriyatan tayyiba. Good children. Okay. What else? Yes. وَلَا تَيَمَّمُ الْخَبِيثِ. That when giving in the way of Allah, don't even intend to give that which is impure. Okay? Yes. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. It's better if we speak kindly and properly to people than giving in charity and following that up with injury and words of hurt. Okay? Okay. Yes. وَمَا تُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ اللَّهِ. Spend only to seek whose face? The face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, good. Let's begin juz number 4. نَحْمَدُهُ وَنُصَلِّي عَلَى رَسُولِهِ الْكَرِيمِ أَمَّا بَعُدْ فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما.
لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. كل الطعام كان حلا لبني إسرائيل إلا ما حرم إسرائيل على نفسه من قبل أن تنزل التوراة. قل فأتوا بالتوراة فاتلوها إن كنتم صادقين. فمن افترى على الله الكذب من بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الظالمون. قل صدق الله فاتبعوا ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين.
لا تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. Never will you attain the good reward until you spend in the way of Allah from that which you love. And whatever you spend, indeed Allah is knowing of it. He knows all. He knows who gives what in His way. Allah knows what a person gives in the way of Allah, how a person gives in the way of Allah, in what circumstances he gives in the way of Allah, with what feeling he spends in the way of Allah, and what kind of his possessions does he give in the way of Allah. The fact is that those people who love Allah, they prove their claim of love true. How? By sacrificing their favorite and most beloved things in the way of Allah. Because لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never ever attain righteousness. You can never attain piety, the good reward, until you give to Allah, for Allah, in His way, that which is beloved to you. And whatever is beloved to us, when we give that in the way of Allah, what are we proving indeed? In fact, we are proving our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these things that we love, that we can spend in the way of Allah, these could be material things as well as immaterial. So over here, all of us are being challenged that you all claim to love Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those who believe are intense in their love for Allah. We all say that we love Allah. So here we are being challenged that what proof do you present for the truthfulness of your claim of love? Love for who? Love for Allah. When the Sahaba heard this ayah, we learned that they raced to give what they loved in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most famous incident concerning this ayah is the story of Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, who had a well named Bayruha, a well that was named Bayruha, and this well was near the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And around this well was also a lot of fertile land. And in this land were many gardens with several hundred date palm trees. And sometimes we learn that the Prophet ﷺ himself would go to that garden, to that well, and he would drink from that well, and he would spend his time in that garden. So Abu Talha, when he heard this ayah, he went to the Prophet ﷺ. Look at how honest the Sahabi was with himself. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my most beloved thing is this garden. I make you a witness that I give in charity this garden in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant me goodness and store it for me with Himself. And he gave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the decision power. He said, I give you the choice, it is up to you, you may spend it however you wish. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very happy, and he said that the Muslims will certainly benefit from this donation, from this contribution. Umar radiallahu anhu, even he went forward at this time. We learn that he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that my most beloved wealth is that garden which I got from the property of Khaybar. Remember that after the conquest of Khaybar, and this is about 6-7 years after the Muslims left Makkah, then many Muslims who had done hijrah, they were given property. So after a very long time, the muhajirun were getting property. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that, Ya Rasulullah, the property that I have in Khaybar, that is the most beloved property to me. I make you a witness. I give this to you just to spend in the way of Allah. Then we also learned that Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, he gave one of his favorite horses in the way of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave it to Usama. Usama, the son of Zayd radiallahu anhu. And at this, Zayd radiallahu anhu got a little upset that I didn't give it to my son. You know, I gave it in the way of Allah. But Usama was who? The one who was made the leader of an army at the time when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was near his death. And Usama radiallahu anhu, under his leadership were people like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman. He was appointed as the leader, and the Prophet ﷺ gave him the horse. What we learn from this is that a person can give anything of his or hers that he likes the most. The test is, what is it that we like the most? مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. What is most beloved to us? What is it that we are most attached to? What is that thing which we consider as the most favorite? That we consider as a very important part of our lives, that we find comfort in, that we feel happy with. The thing which we love, the thing that we are attached to, Allah is telling us that when you will give that to Allah, then yes, you will attain piety. And if you don't give that in the way of Allah, then your claims of loving Allah, your claims of piety, then they're not really that honest. Think about it. When we love somebody, what is it that we give to them? We give them that which we love. Even if it is something that we need, we will still give it to them because we love them. Haven't you ever seen a father giving his phone to his son? Haven't you ever seen a mother giving her jewelry to her daughter? Haven't you seen a sister giving her clothes to her sister? A friend giving her car, lending it to her friend? Why is it that we do these things? When we open up our houses even, that come and stay in my house. Here are the keys. Stay in my house. Who is it that we give our most precious and most beloved things to? It is the people that we love. So if we love Allah, then we have to give something of what we love in the way of Allah. We have to spend that. We have to give that away in order to show that, Ya Allah, I love this thing. I'm very close to this thing. I'm very attached to this thing. However, you are more beloved to me. I am more attached to you. So لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And anything you give, then Allah knows. Whether someone appreciates or not, whether someone values that contribution or not, it does not matter. You receive no praise for it, no acknowledgement for it, never mind. Because the Lord for whose sake you gave it, the one in whose love you gave it, knows what you have given. When a person spends in the way of Allah, what is the objective? To please Allah. So when you've given your most favorite, your most beloved thing in the way of Allah, then inshallah, Allah will be pleased with you. And if He is pleased, then don't worry about anything else. Now in the following verses, we learn about certain objections that the Bani Israel raised against the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them. One of the objections was that if this Qur'an is truly from Allah, then why is the law different from the law in the previous scriptures? For example, in the previous scripture they say, we were not allowed to eat camels. However, in the Qur'an, this is something that has been made permissible. Likewise, the previous nations, they faced, or the Bani Israel, they faced Baytul Maqdis in prayer as their Qibla. But the Muslims face the Kaaba in prayer. So these matters are clarified. Allah says, كُلُّ الطَّعَامِ كَانَ حِلًّا لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. All food was lawful to the children of Israel, including camel meat. Initially it was permissible. Except what Israel, meaning Ya'qub, had made unlawful to himself. Why? Due to his personal decision, due to some health concerns. Before the Torah was revealed, and this prohibition was made when? Israel made it for himself before the revelation of the Torah. And where is it that the law is? In the Torah. So say, O Muhammad, bring the Torah and recite it. Read the Torah. See, where does it prohibit the eating of these foods, if you should be truthful. And whoever invents about Allah untruth after that, then those are truly the wrongdoers. So basically, what is being said is that Allah did not forbid these things. You made these changes in your religion yourself. So don't put the blame on Allah. قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ. Say, Allah has told the truth. Not what the people say. Who has spoken the truth? Allah has spoken the truth. Because many times we find people saying something that clearly contradicts what is mentioned in the Quran. Sometimes we find scientific research or some other kind of proof or some other kinds of things that people say which contradict the book of Allah. Then who is truthful? What does Allah tell us? قُلْ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ. Allah has spoken the truth. Every time there is a doubt, every time you wonder, tell yourself, صَدَقَ اللَّهُ. Allah has spoken the truth. So follow the religion of Ibrahim, inclining toward truth, and he was not of the polytheists. And now the response to the second objection. Indeed, the first house of worship established, meaning that was built for mankind, meaning in order that they may worship Allah, was which house? The house, the building, the structure that is in Makkah. Makkah. What is the house over there? The Kaaba. And this Kaaba, Allah says it is the first house that was built. By who? By the angels, even before Adam alayhi salam. And then when Adam came to the earth, then Adam alayhi salam reconstructed the Kaaba. Then Ibrahim, Ismail, they reconstructed the Kaaba also. So the Kaaba was in place before even the Baytul Maqdis. And from the first day, what direction is it that the people were required to face in prayer? It was the Kaaba. And it was only when, at the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam, when Baytul Maqdis was constructed, so years and years later after Ibrahim alayhi salam, that people began facing Baytul Maqdis in prayer. So the final messenger who came to perfect the law of Allah, what did he do? At his time, what is it that humanity was commanded? Then when we pray, which direction should we face? The original Qibla, which is the Kaaba in Makkah. And this house of Allah in Makkah, Allah says, Mubarakan, it is blessed and a guidance for the worlds. In it are clear signs, such as the standing place of Ibrahim, such as Maqam Ibrahim. What is Maqam Ibrahim, which is right next to the Kaaba? It is the place where Ibrahim alayhi salam stood for the construction of the Kaaba. It is the place, the rock upon which he stood in surrender, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is where he stood to construct the Kaaba. That is where he stood in obedience, in worship of his Lord. And the marks that we see today on that maqam, what are they? The traces of his ibadah. These are the traces that Ibrahim alayhi salam left behind. He is gone. But what do we see today? The traces of his ibadah. Think about it. How long he must have stood there building Allah's house and worshipping Allah. That Allah preserve that rock for us to see today. What we need to check is, how long do we stand in prayer? And when we do have to stand, then how do we stand in prayer? Ramadan is approaching. And in Ramadan, we fast during the day and pray in the night. The question is, how ready are we for that qiyam, for standing in prayer in the night? And what are we willing to give up so that we may stand in that prayer? Because think about it. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You can never attain piety until you give of that which you love. For many of us, the most beloved thing is not necessarily an item, an object, a piece of gold, a piece of jewelry, money, a house. No, quite possibly, it may be our sleep. It may be our rest. It may be the comfort that we find in our beds. It may be the food that we eat. But what does Allah say? That you can never attain piety until you give of that which you love. Look at Ibrahim. How much did he give of his beloved things in the way of Allah? He was even ready to put a knife on his own son's neck. The son that he prayed for, that he longed for. And when he had that son, he left him in Makkah, went away. Why was this separation made? For whose sake? In what cause? In the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Giving up that which he loved for the sake of Allah. So now we have to see, as Ramadan is approaching, what are we willing to give up? And if we are willing to give up something for Allah, whether it is our food, then how is it that we should give up? Happily, not grudgingly, not reluctantly, happily, for Allah's sake. Because when a person does it happily, then Allah values his efforts and Allah preserves his efforts. Look at the effort of Ibrahim. Look at how Allah valued it. Look at how he has preserved it. That till today, when we go there, we see the maqam of Ibrahim. Allah says, whoever enters it shall be safe. Whoever enters the house of Allah, meaning that area, Masjidul Haram, then that person is safe. And due to Allah, from the people, is a pilgrimage to the house. It is Allah's right that people visit His house and worship Him. For whoever is able to find thereto a way. But whoever disbelieves, then indeed Allah is free from need of the worlds. Meaning then Allah is not pleased with those who do not not go to visit his house. The Prophet ﷺ said, hasten, rush, do not delay in fulfilling the obligation of Hajj. For none of you knows what may come his way as an obstacle. We don't know what may come our way. Right now we have the ability, we have the health, the circumstances allow us to go and do Hajj. Who knows, next year it may be difficult. The year after that it may become even more difficult. So if we are able to go for Hajj, then what should we do? Not delay fulfilling this obligation. Now sometimes these obstacles that come in our way, they are within ourselves. It is our hesitation. Because sometimes we have the means, but what is the problem? We ourselves don't want to go. Why is it that we don't want to go? Because if we go, then we have to spend a lot of money. If we go, then the journey is very long and tiring. If we go, we have to take time off of work. We have to leave our family. But the Prophet ﷺ warned us that whoever is able to, then what should he do? Hasten in performing this obligation. Now who is it that will give up his money? That will leave his family for some time or his work for some time? That will bear the hardship of this journey of Hajj? Who will do that? The one who will give up what he loves. For whose sake? For the sake of Allah. Spending that out of which we love. Remember that Hajj is that worship in which a person gives up many of his beloved things. When a person goes for Hajj, he gives up his home. He leaves his loved ones. He leaves his comfort, his food. So many things. So this is all part of لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Now remember that Hajj, it is an obligation. And yes, when a person performs Hajj once, then his obligation is fulfilled. Meaning once, it is necessary that a person must perform Hajj in his lifetime, at least once. But if a person is able to perform Hajj more than once in his lifetime, then he must do that also. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah says that when I keep my servant's body healthy and grant him ample provision, and 5 years go by and he does not come to my house, then indeed he is mahroom. Indeed that servant is deprived. Who? The one who has a healthy body, who has the means, the financial capacity, who can go for Hajj, and 5 years go by and he does not go to visit the house of Allah, neither for Hajj nor for Umrah. Then this person is who? He is depriving himself. Mahroom. He is only depriving himself. Because each time a person visits the house of Allah, he performs Umrah or he does Hajj, then what is he doing in reality? He's getting all of his sins washed off. He is drawing closer to Allah. He is showing his love, his dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, there are some places that we love. When we love them, we can never have enough of visiting those places. Think about the malls. Or there are certain places which we don't necessarily love. But there is a need of ours that is placed over there. We have to go and fulfill our need over there. So even if we find it difficult, do we still go there? Yes, we do. Think about the grocery stores. How often we go? Twice, thrice a week, sometimes even more than that, sometimes less than that. Why is it that we keep going there? Because we need to. So if Allah has given us the financial capacity, the physical ability, the circumstances allow us, then we should not deprive ourselves from going to the house of Allah and worshipping Allah at His house. Say, O people of the scripture, why do you disbelieve in the verses of Allah while Allah is witness over what you do? Wallahu shahidun ala ma ta'malun. Say, O people of the scripture, why do you avert from the way of Allah those who believe, seeking to make it seem deviant, while you are witnesses to the truth? And Allah is not unaware of what you do. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Look at the previous ayah. وَاللَّهُ شَهِيدٌ عَلَى مَا تَعْمَلُونَ. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah watches us. Allah is not unaware of what we do. O you who have believed, if you obey a party of those who were given the scripture, they would turn you back after your belief to being unbelievers. Meaning if you begin to follow their ways, If you begin to pursue their pleasure, their approval, then what will happen? You will end up leaving the religion. Why? Because these people will never be happy with you. They will never give you the stamp of approval until you become like them. And if you do that, وَكَيْفَ تَكْفُرُونَ? And how could you disbelieve? Why would you disbelieve? How could you disbelieve? What reason do you have for disbelief? While to you are being recited the verses of Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ تُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ. Meaning the person who reads the book of Allah, the person who learns the book of Allah, then he should only be affected and impressed by whose word? The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whose law? The law of Allah. Not someone else's law. Not someone else's speech. وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ. And among you is his messenger. That while the messenger is among you, how could you leave the religion? What does this mean? This is basically about the sahaba. But after the Prophet ﷺ has gone, yes, he's not amongst us. But what is it that still lives on? His legacy, his seerah, his life, his teachings, his manners, his legacy, it lives on. So when we have the Prophet ﷺ as our role model, as our leader, as our guide, a perfect example, then how could we find another leader? Which leader could even come close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who could be more affectionate than him? Who could be more loving than him? Whose example could be better than his example? Whose way of struggling could be better than his way? وَفِيكُمْ رَسُولُهُ وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ. And whoever holds firmly to Allah, فَقَدْ هُدِيَ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. Then indeed he has been guided to a straight path. We ask Allah for صِرَاط مُسْتَقِيم. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيم. But to be on صِرَاط الْمُسْتَقِيم, what is necessary? Our connection with Allah. That must be strong. وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever holds on to Allah. Because the one whose connection with Allah is strong, that is firm, then he will be on صِرَاط الْمُسْتَقِيم. Then he will be on the path to Jannah. Then he will find Allah's approval. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who have believed, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Fear Allah. How should you fear Him? حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. As He should be feared. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. And do not die. إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Except while you are Muslim. Death should not come to you. You should not meet death. Unless, except you are in a state of surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In submission to Allah. Meaning, throughout your life, you should be concerned about strengthening, maintaining your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just in the month of Ramadan that we hold on to Allah, that we fast in the day, we pray in the night, we recite Quran, we do dhikr of Allah. No. Because death can come in Ramadan and also after Ramadan. So after Ramadan also, what is it that we need to do? Hold on to Allah. Strengthen our relationship with Him. Remain obedient to Him. Submit to Him. Be compliant to Him. Because remember, it does not take long for a person to go astray. Just because a person is doing something good at the present moment does not mean he will forever remain like that. It does not guarantee that his state of faith, his state of iman will forever remain good and strong. No, iman is something that becomes old, that weakens over time. Just as the clothes on our bodies, do they fade over time? Do they lose their beauty over time? Yes. Then what is necessary? That the clothes be washed, they be pressed, they be maintained, they be mended. Likewise, iman needs to be refreshed also. So this effort of ours of coming together daily and reviewing one juz, this is for what purpose? For reviewing, for refreshing our knowledge of the Qur'an? Why? Why? What's the reason? To refresh, to strengthen our faith. Revive our faith. Because وَمَنْ يَعْتَصِمْ بِاللَّهِ. Then that person is rightly guided. And Allah orders us that do not die unless you are in a state of Islam. So always, every day, every week, every moment, be concerned about your iman. Because death can come at any time without warning. So how can a person allow himself to become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam frequently made dua, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. That, O turner of the hearts, the one who turns the heart from one state to another, from one position to another, from one direction to another. And does that not happen? One day we like one thing, and the next day we dislike it. One day, one month, one year, we love to eat a particular food. And the next week, the next month, we don't even want to look at it. If this happens with food, if this happens with our computers, with our phones, we use them. But then what happens? We get bored of them. We want to change. Then what do you think about actions? Does a person not get weary of them sometimes? He does. So what is necessary? That we keep asking Allah for strength. That, Ya Allah, place my enjoyment, my joy in what? In worshipping You. That give me comfort through Your worship. That whenever I worship You, then I find comfort. Not that I'm seeking comfort and joy in my trips to the mall, in social gatherings, in coffee parties, in dinner parties. No, these things do bring joy to a person. However, ultimate joy should be in what? In salah. Like the Prophet ﷺ found ultimate joy, where? In his prayer also. So what do we learn from this ayah? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That no matter how good and pious a person may be, no matter how much he loves Allah and prays beautifully and worships Allah with excellence in one given moment, it is not necessary that he will die in that same condition. Sometimes a minor incident can change the state of a person's heart. It can literally change the state of his heart. Sometimes a person, because of what he's going through his life, he's so emotionally disturbed that he begins to lose his faith in Allah. He begins to think negatively about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He begins to entertain wrong thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what happens? Think about it. When there's a storm, when wind blows, then what is it that the wind picks up? What is it that the wind picks up and throws away? It is objects that are light in weight, that are not firmly rooted. A believer, what is he like? His iman is firmly rooted. Why? Because he's constantly taking care of his iman, constantly nourishing his faith by worshipping Allah, by keeping connected with the Book of Allah, by keeping himself in the company of those who remind him to worship Allah, to remain obedient to Allah. So when iman receives this nourishment, it stays strong. Strong like a firmly planted tree. Then what happens? Even when a storm comes, even when there is a violent wind, then yes, what will happen to that plant? What will happen to that tree? It might get damaged slightly. But what will happen after some time? It will regain its strength. It will be standing firm and tall very soon. So our hearts, our faith, it needs constant care and attention. Think about it. When you have a plant, then what is necessary? That you just water it and put some fertile soil in it, fertilizer in it just once? No. Every now and then you have to look after it. You have to water it. You have to clean up the soil. You have to sometimes take the old soil out and put fresh soil. You have to take care of it. Why? Otherwise the plant will not remain strong. It will weaken. This life is very difficult. In this life there are many threats, many dangers. To our physical body, yes. To our health, certainly. But more to our faith. So just as we are concerned about the safety of our bodies, the safety of our health, we need to be equally and more concerned, in fact, about the safety of our iman, of the health of our faith. So, لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So, O Muslims, your end should be good. Life should end with لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is something that we should make dua for. And this is something that we should also strive for.